Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to welcome back Kathleen Duffy with Duffy Group Incorporated. She is the CEO and founder. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thanks, Karen. Great to be here.
I think we need to make this a regular quarterly thing
with
you.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
We would love that. We've got a new topic to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
Which I'm excited. And before we jump into that, I would also like to introduce you to a new guest and friend, Trish Gulbranson, President and CEO with Derma Health.
Hi, thank you.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. And we had a fun introduction in kind of the green room. You came kind of interested and curious about conscious capitalism. I know Jonathan Kaiser, who's been a guest with us a handful of times, made a great introduction to you. And so we got you connected with Brian Moore and Scott McIntosh. And we hope to see you more.
He did. That was fun that you are sharing office space.
Isn't it neat? Yeah, it's great.
I think
Kathleen said, well, you know, that's where the studio lives.
Yes. You'll be there.
Yeah, perfect. So I would love, before we get into the conversation really around Sun Devil 100, which I'm anxious and excited to hear about since I've got a daughter who's a recent ASU alum, I would love to first tell our listeners about who you are professionally. So, Kathleen, if you don't mind starting with us, who is Duffy Group and who do you serve? And then we'll have Trish share and we'll go from there.
Yeah, sure. So Duffy Group is an executive recruiting firm. I guess the disclaimer around that is that we're a non-traditional recruiting firm. So in the recruiting firm space, there are traditional firms that are where their fees are based on a percentage of the candidate's salary. My background is that I came out of one of those traditional firms, a retained search firm, and was the front end of the process. I was the researcher. I ran the research department. And in, 1991, I parted ways with the recruiting firm and I started my own business and I brought recruitment research into corporate America. So now the way our business is structured is that our clients are allowed, our clients now are able to buy the parts of the search process that they need internally. So that's what we do. And our clients vary from small to medium-sized businesses to large corporations. They can be Phoenix-based, but the majority of them are national. And probably in the last 10 years, we've grown to support organizations internationally.
I know we've had a lot of opportunity to talk about Duffy Group, and really, I'll use the word disruptor as an industry disruptor. For our listeners, we would encourage you to search Kathleen Duffy and Duffy Group on Business Radio X and go and listen to the segment where we spoke specifically and focused on your business, because there's so much there to learn.
Great,
and
thank you.
And your website is just
Duffy
for reference.
Group.com.
Perfect.
Simple.
Yeah, very good. And Trish, how about you? Derma Health. Tell us about you and Derma Health.
Yeah, so Derma Health is a medical spa, so we essentially reverse aging and prevent aging. And our core demographic is 48-year-old female, so for the last 15 years, that's where we've really focused. I always say that's where people have the need. The woman usually has always put everyone before herself, all her kids, her husband, everyone. She wakes up one day and says, wow, I feel so good on the inside. My kids are gone. I'm looking at myself saying, that person in the mirror isn't me. I feel good on the inside. I want to look that way on the outside.
So funny that you're mentioning that real quick. I took pictures this morning. I'm doing this thing called Precision Health. So I took my photos, my before photos, and my husband took them, you know, the front, the back, and the side. And I'm like, oh boy. And I'm 54, so I'm well above the 48 zone, but obviously
we're speaking
in that, and I had that same, just like, wow, I feel like I'm in my mid 30s. But when I look at pictures, especially full on pictures in a bathing suit,
yeah, that is always scary.
Holy cow. Yeah. Yes. So I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but I can relate. And so this is the group and the people that you focus on to help people feel as beautiful on the inside as they do on the outside. And I know that's kind of your specialty, right?
Yep. Right. Yeah. So we have always used naturopathic physicians for that very reason, that really, when you think about what makes beautiful skin, it's what we put in our bodies. So what do we eat? What do we drink? What are we doing for exercise and that sort of thing? But medical aesthetics and the industry is amazing what you can do nowadays to really reverse the signs of aging for the skin.
Great. And your website, and how do we find you as well?
www.dhiskin.com.
dhiskin.com. Excellent. Great. So the reason why we have invited the two of you here today is we really want to get into a conversation around Sun Devil 100. Who are you? Who does that represent? And then I believe you have a celebration coming up as well. So let's just open up to a conversation and let's just start with the basics. What is Sun Devil 100?
Well, Sun Devil 100 is really to honor the top 100 companies in the nation that are either Sun Devil led or Sun Devil owned. So that could be the CEO of the company, it could be the founder, it could be a COO, anybody that's really got that role. And it could be multiple people within the organization.
And do they have to be Arizona based or?
Absolutely not. This is our fifth year. So there's actually honorees from other countries and definitely outside the state of Arizona.
So the program actually got started through W.P. Carey. And that was the first program that came through. And so they limited it really just to business majors. And then they asked the Alumni Association to take that over because they knew that this had a lot of legs to it, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so now we are in our fifth year. The Alumni Association has been leading this event for the last 4 years. Trish happens to be the chair of the event this year. But now we have a broad representation of the internal colleges. So I've come out of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. And so often I hear from parents, what am I going to do with my kid that gets a psychology degree or a sociology degree or an English degree? Well, I'm amazed at how many of my liberal arts colleagues that I'm meeting through this, and they are all entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so the College of Liberal Arts has really been able to springboard that because they're teaching communication, leadership, critical thinking types of skills. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really exciting program. And I think the other piece of it is that it's really a community that we're building now, so that we joke about doing business with a devil. Right? I love it. Yeah. And so it now creates a community so that we have resources. So I happen to be one of Derma Health's clients. And in turn, Trish.
That's why she looks so good.
That's
yes, right.
She does.
That's
she
why
looks
I look
fantastic.
48.
Yeah. So I didn't realize it's only been 5 years that this organization has been together. That's mm-hmm. phenomenal. So who's involved? I mean, who's selected? Is there, what's the vetting process? And tell us a little bit about that.
So it's essentially, I think you have to have revenue over $300,000 and need to be in business for 3 years.
3 years, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the vetting process is done through Henry & Horne. So it's an independent CPA
Perfect.
Firm. That's everything's kept confidential, but super easy application process. You turn in revenues and let them verify it through tax returns, and that's it. And then they base it on the fastest growing companies.
Mm-hmm. And just a nice plug for Henry & Horne, they do this pro bono, and it's a lot of work to evaluate, you know, hundreds of these applications that come through. So we're really, really grateful for their service to the Alumni Association.
So you know what's interesting about the whole thing? So you think of Sun Devil 100, there's like 550,000 alumni of ASU, and you'd think, wow, there must be tons of companies out there. But there is no database that ASU has that would right. tell us, here's all these Sun Devil owned companies. There's no such database.
So this is all word of mouth.
This is word of mouth.
Right.
So this year we had about 110 applications. And of those applications, about 84 of those qualified. It did represent about 96 Sun Devils. So there was some had multiple leaders out of each company. But we're just trying to get the word out because we need to find these people.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you're here because that's what we do.
Right.
That's
right.
Fantastic. And I know Kathleen knows my daughter just graduated from W.P. Carey, uh-huh. which is exciting. I think she has the entrepreneur bug in her. She's going to land a couple different jobs first with larger corporations. But I see those wheels turning, and I think business ownership is in her future.
Well, I think what's also interesting when, as Trish said, they rank Henry & Horne ranks are the businesses on the fastest growing. So I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Trish, but of the top 10 last year of the fastest growing the majority of them had graduated within the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So probably the highest growth rates are the younger companies too, right? Mm-hmm. So the bigger you get, the harder it is to get those big growth rates. But the other thing about it is we want people to reapply each year. So like if you think about the Inc. 500 list, we want people to continue to reapply and reapply and not just say, hey, I was an honoree 1 year and I'm done. Keep applying.
Yeah, it's not a one and done.
It's an every year.
And so let's talk about the recognition and the importance of that in relationship to the April event. This is the fastest. Is Sundevil 100 really just acknowledging and recognizing the fastest growing companies, or are there other categories of acknowledgement as well?
Well, no, it's just based on those people who apply, okay? And then based on their tax returns or their financials for the last 3 years, they're able to determine which of these 100 and X number of companies that have applied are the fastest growing.
Okay, perfect.
But it's just revenues.
That's yes. Well, I love it because I think so often we have acknowledgments and award ceremonies and there's so many different things. It's really wonderful to see this is the focus. Mm-hmm. This is what we're working on.
And it's again, so easy for us to say, well, I'm not that big yet. You know, I mean, it's not like you have to be a $100 million or $1 billion company. Mm-hmm. You know, ASU is built on entrepreneurship and innovation. And that's really what we're celebrating.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone to, if you qualify, send in the financials and send in the application. It does. It's a nice acknowledgement, and it's a nice acknowledgement of the individual, of their company, and a great showcase for ASU to say, wow, look at these graduates that have graduated from ASU and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And again, I love that it's not just, it doesn't have to be an Arizona-based company. These graduates leave Arizona and they go wherever they go. Some stay here, some go overseas. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic to have this acknowledgement and recognition. So share with us then about the upcoming event in April. And is this an event that for all 5 years you all have been doing?
Well, I think it's really grown, and Trish has been a great leader of this event this year. So on it is Monday, April 29th will be the big event. But the night before, we will have a networking reception over at Karsten Golf Course. And then on Monday, we usually meet with our individual colleges and have an opportunity to visit with the deans and get connected and learn what's going on. And then there will be a large luncheon this year where we're able to buy tables and really bring our teams together to celebrate this accomplishment as well. Because obviously we wouldn't be able to do this without our teams, right?
Yep. And you get a nice award, and the Arizona Business Journal sponsors every year. They're our MC.
Perfect.
And run a big write-up in the paper. And so, yeah.
I love it. And something, Kathleen, that you said that I hadn't thought of is that neat connection back with the university and the different schools within ASU. What great case studies you all have become for ASU and each of the individual colleges. That's so important, right? Because if we go off and we do our thing, a lot of times the universities, you know, our alma mater doesn't really hear about what we're doing.
Right.
And those students, we can stay so stuck in the academics of our learning. And so I think with big universities, especially ASU has been a leader in this, being able to take a look and say, hey, here's what's happening. And these folks are a direct result of their education here at ASU. So that's wonderful to make that connection back and forth.
Well, and a lot of the chatter of the last couple of days, right, has been around inclusion and exclusion of universities. And of course, we all know that inclusion is a key word in ASU's charter. And so one of the other key components to the selection process is that all of our organizations align with are consistent with the ASU charter, and the primary one being that of inclusion.
Mm-hmm. And ethics.
Yes.
Yeah. Both.
So the other thing in terms of inspiring young students that are at ASU, we started something this year called ASU Sun Devil Stories. So we took three of the companies that had been honored last year and had a separate event. It was at the Yard House in Tempe. And Ray Artigue, former marketing officer for the Suns, he was the moderator. And it was great. I think out of the 187 that attended, there was maybe half of them were students. So it was really fun for them to be there to hear what businesses are doing. One or two of them were very young people that just had graduated. So it was amazing to hear their stories. Like Kathleen says, every time we go, we feel kind of like a loser because these kids are just doing so,
our young people today are just so community service. I mean, it's really, it's not so much about, I mean, everybody wants to make money, right? But their mission is also about how do I give back to the community?
Yep, it's the conscious capitalism, of course, which we talked about before we came on air. And I'm grateful for the way that universities and private colleges are helping our youth. And maybe we're shifting as educational institutes because our youth are expecting that from us. That's probably more appropriate to say that as business owners, we know we need to make money. And there's no shame in that. It is the fastest way to eradicate abject poverty. We found that capitalism does that, you know, teach folks how to make a shift in their life and you change a legacy and the trajectory of where these communities and cities and people all across the globe can make a shift. Stakeholder involvement is really important, right? When we're talking about building a company and a business, no matter how large or small, making sure that everybody, the vendors, the employees, the customers, the clients, and any of the power partners are all feeling that they are invested in the success of that business and everybody's needs are met, which is not always an easy task, but everybody who swims in the same circle within conscious capitalism, I know, has that as one of their founding core principles. Let's talk a little bit about alumni associations and really how important they are for universities. I'm asking that question more kind of globally, not just ASU specific, but I know Kathleen, you are heavily involved in the ASU Alumni Association, and I'm sure you are too. Sun Devil 100, is that a part of the Alumni Association or is it a whole separate thing?
Well, yeah, so I'm the chairman of the board of the Alumni Association.
Oh, okay.
All of this came through Kathleen Duffy,
who happened
to walk in my office one day and found out I was not involved at the university.
Well, you know, so, I'm a connector.
You are the connector.
Crazy things happen.
Okay. So this Sun Devil 100 fits perfectly. I mean, it's part of
this. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Kathleen said, W.P. Carey, as the business school, started it. And it was wonderful. But then they said, hey, this can't just be the business school. We need to get this off into the Alumni Association's hands. So it's the Alumni Association that essentially runs the event.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so let's talk generically, how and why are alumni associations so important to universities? And we can also speak specifically to ASU since that's your experience. But what makes it so important? I think we've hit some of the highlights as we've talked about this opportunity for these businesses to be highlighted. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts around that?
Well, I think, you know, a few things. Like the university wants to showcase what's being produced. I mean, as a public university, if you're funding a public university, you want to know the impact that you're having on the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's good to get alumni back in to form partnerships with the university, especially ASU is so innovative. I think they're 4 years in a row top of innovation, but they
ahead of MIT and Stanford.
Right, which is huge because she does know her stats. And you wouldn't know that because ASU is number one ranking in so many different areas.
But not as a party school anymore.
Yeah. No, and thank goodness. That, I think, was more like 80s back in the day.
Yeah, that was when I was here.
Yep. I was at NAU. That was not another university back in the day. But it's great. And ASU continues to be in great light and receiving great acknowledgement from, I mean, really worldwide. Mm-hmm. And so it's organizations like the Alumni Association and Sun Devil 100 and business owners who care about their university and stay connected that makes the difference. Yeah. So this is not part-time work for you ladies. When it gets to be in the crunch, you're running your businesses, but you're also doing a lot of philanthropy as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. You know, another component of the Alumni Association is that ability to connect with your alma mater. And so when I got involved with the Alumni Association, whenever I met anyone who said that they were a Sun Devil, my first question was, are you a member of the Alumni Association? Mm-hmm. Which is actually what I asked Trish, I think, when I met you.
She's going to ask for money, I know it.
And she did more than that.
I didn't ask for money. I just wanted her to join the Alumni Association. So, you know, so I was a member of a sorority. I'm a Kappa Delta when I was at ASU, and that was a big part of my college experience. And now, fast forward, you know, 23 years. And now we have this Greek Leadership Village, and it is really changing the way of Greek life in universities. And once again, ASU is the leader in this. But so I've been working with Fraternity and Sorority Life, the Office of Fraternity and Sorority Life, to connect our Greek alumni back to the university, so, and to our Greek students. Because we all know, as members of the Greek community, the leadership experiences that we're getting in particular. These people that are young men and young women that are members of their sororities and fraternities who happen to choose to be on the executive council, I mean, the sororities are 200 to 250 people. That, I mean, that's a small company. Mm-hmm. The budgets that the treasurer has to manage. And so we are really trying to connect our Greek alumni with our Greek students so that they can tap that for mentoring opportunities, for internships, and then, of course, for full-time job employment. As a matter of fact, I introduced one of them to Trish for an opportunity in her organization. So. Yeah.
It's hard to recruit nowadays. It's hard to find people.
So. It's still who you know. It's still who can refer me, who can give me that warm introduction. I still find that even though so many barriers appear to be, you know, with internet application, it's all about who you know and how can you get introduced.
Right, exactly.
And to go back to our point, you know, ASU's reputation, again, several years ago, but some of it still stands for people if they're not so well dialed in, as it relates to Greek life, was, again, centered around this, you know, the ASU even separating itself and saying, you know, it's not even who we are. Mm-hmm. And so I love the leadership that you guys are providing to say, listen, these students, these kids, I'll call them kids, are being put into leadership positions, executive leadership positions, to use your languaging. Mm-hmm. And running an organization. Right. And my daughter, Madison, obviously, we have that connection through your niece. She was very involved in Theta while she was at ASU. And I have no doubt that attributed to her ability to stand tall in an interview process and end up being the number one candidate on a couple of opportunities that she's had because she could walk in there and say, yes, I've run a major organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, just think about recruitment. And the fact that you have to be able to have a conversation with complete stranger and to be able to ask those open-ended questions to get to know people. My daughter has been out of school for 2 years, and it's been really, I'm just so proud to watch her have conversations with complete strangers and to be able to engage in, you know, a thoughtful conversation with them. Mm-hmm. So there's just so many skills that they learn.
Love it. Trish, tell us about your ASU background. I don't know that I'm familiar with what college you came through and your involvement beyond Kathleen saying, come, do this with us.
I'd love to say I came from W.P. Carey, but I didn't because it didn't exist back then.
Ah.
It was that long ago.
I don't think any of them. We were just, you know, in the engineering school or in...
We were in the College of Business. Yeah. So I got my accounting degree.
Okay.
And then went on and I became a certified public accountant for many years. So worked in public accounting, one of the big accounting firms. And so that's
your ASU story. And so how'd you end up running DermaHealth? I'm fascinated from an accounting to this.
This is a great story.
Yeah. So I left public accounting and I took a job. I turned the job down 3 times. It was a little software company. And I kept saying, there's 12 people there. Why would I take this job? I mean, I worked so hard on my career. And finally, somebody goes, Trish, there's this thing called the internet that's coming. And you really ought to look at this opportunity for that very reason. So that was the company that I got into. So I did join when they were about 12 people, and I was there a total of 10 years as their CFO and eventually became their CEO. And that's where I really got the entrepreneurial bug. So learned how to take risk. And yeah, there was a lot of hand wringing during those days of growing a software company. But yeah, so once we sold that company, I said, wow, I could
do anything next?
I wanted.
Yeah.
I love health and fitness. So I spent about a year researching and landed in this whole area of anti-aging. Medical aesthetics was still so new, that wasn't really a category, but that is how I started. I started in medical aesthetics, brand new, In fact, couldn't even get funding when I started because the banks were like, what is this stuff? Like, you think you're going to make money doing this? But yeah, I think it's the finance background that I got from, you know, ASU was the foundation to that. And I always give ASU credit because I got recruited out by the big four accounting firms. Back when I was there, it was the big eight accounting firms. But they come recruit you out. And I always give credit to, you know, that launched my career. So
impressive and exciting. And how long have you had Derma Health? How long has it been around? I think you
15
said
15 years.
15 years.
Yeah, just celebrated 15
years. What is your favorite part of this version of your life, right? You had this wildly successful career over here, and now you've been doing this for 15 years. When you sit back, what are you most proud of?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think what's most rewarding, I took a lot of things out of that software company I came from. I always said, it always had this edgy, innovative culture. You know, I had been given so many opportunities and so much mentorship, and I just thought, I want to take a company, I want to grow it so that I develop people. I have that edgy culture that people love to be here. They always leave in a better place than they were when they came. And so we're all about uplifting, inspiring, and encouraging. That's our mission.
And you're doing it.
Yeah, we're doing it.
I love it.
It's kind of weird to look back. We're doing it.
And location?
15 years.
Yeah. Where are you located?
I have 5 locations.
Oh, just 5.
Getting ready to open a couple more.
Really?
Yeah.
So all in Arizona?
Uh-huh. All in Arizona. We're in Peoria. We're in Paradise Valley. We're in Ahwatukee, Chandler, and Mesa.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Kathleen, same question for you. When you look back at the Duffy Group and really all the things that you've been doing professionally, what makes you most proud?
That I survived the recession.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, that is not, that's not a small feat.
No, I mean, you know, I'm celebrating my 28th year this year.
Congratulations.
So I've been through some really good times and some really rough times. And I think just the persistence and tenacity to keep going. And sometimes you have to, you know, reinvent yourself.
I was gonna say, the willingness to pivot.
Right.
And not just a pivot, like a small little nudge, sometimes complete reinvention.
Right, exactly. And, you know, you said we disrupted the recruiting. And, you know, I'd love to think that we really did. But I'll take credit for that if you would like.
I will give it to you. From what I know about the Duffy Group, I will give it to you.
But, you know, it is hard to come in with a different pricing model, because this, you know, the recruiting industry has been around for a long time and it's always been done the same way. And so you have to figure out at what point in each economic cycle that we're in that people are going to hear the message. So it's almost like you have to have a customized message with each, you know, with each conversation that you have, until, you know, my mission right now is to really be an evangelist on this business model or this recruiting approach so that it becomes part of the conversation.
That's how I met Kathleen. So someone recommended her and she came out. We were looking to recruit for some positions that were just higher level, harder to recruit for. And as a small company, like she said, you can't afford to pay those big fees. So yeah, they were wonderful.
What a perfect fit.
And then she got involved in
I was just going to say, and 4 questions into getting to know each other, Kathleen's eyes went boing. And she said,
I don't even think it was 4, do you think?
Not even 4 questions, it was right away. I do know Kathleen's a researcher, so she probably already knew that you were an ASU alum.
She probably
right?
did.
Yeah, probably did. I could see the maroon and gold.
Uh-huh. Bleeding maroon and gold. And what was the joke earlier, that the devil, you're doing the devil's work or something?
No, we're doing business with a
doing business
with a devil.
With
not,
a devil.
Not,
yeah,
not the devil.
Yeah, I like
a
that.
Devil.
Very fun. What have I not thought to ask about Sundevil 100 that we want to make sure our listeners know? Because, again, we obviously appeal to, you know, business owners and professionals, busy professionals who want to find information quickly. That's the beauty of podcasts. And so if somebody has found their way to this, once this is a podcast and no longer a live broadcast, what else can we tell them? Let me repeat what I heard. You want to make sure that you encourage the folks who've made the rankings to reapply year after year to continue to have that accolade. It's a great opportunity to network and to give back to the university. What else haven't I thought to summarize?
What I'd like to bring up is philanthropy.
Let's talk about that.
And I think that one of the other things that Dr. Crow is doing is really building a culture of philanthropy. And that we all have the opportunity to become philanthropists. And that was a word that was only left, you know, in my mind, that was Oprah. That's Bill Gates. That wasn't Kathleen Duffy. That could be a philanthropist. And so being part of Sundevil 100 allowed me to learn how to be a philanthropist and to be able to find out through the relationships that I have with the deans in my college, how I can help support the students. And so this year, my husband and I were able to put a scholarship in place for the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. And I know Trish has been able to do that as well. And what's nice about it is it's not just a scholarship, right? So it's, but I, you know, for me, it's really important that this, that the person that is in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, that they're part of social sciences, which is where my degree is from, that they also be a member of the Greek community, and that they also be a first-generation college student. So are the three parameters, but I'm able to customize that. And I know Trisha's been able to, you've put a couple scholarships together, haven't you?
I did, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think what I've learned so much about being involved at ASU is that we are a public university, but a very, very small amount of our funding comes from the state. I think most people think, mm-hmm. The state funds everything. No, they don't. So when my late husband, he passed away, I set up an endowment in his name. And just getting to be involved with some of the luncheons they put on and the students that are there and the thanks that you get for funding scholarships for kids that otherwise can't afford to go to school. You know, what I love about ASU is they have their whole population at ASU is modeled right after the demographics of our own state. Mm-hmm. So whatever income levels we have, whatever ethnic backgrounds we have, that is who's at ASU. And a lot of those people can't afford it. And if it's not funded by the state, then it's got to come from scholarships and private donation. And, you know, if you get successful companies, and I give a lot of credit to my success to ASU, I wanted to give back. So I did. I just set up a second endowment just this year under my name, in addition to my husband. So
an endowment, is that different than a scholarship or is it the same language?
Well, endowments, essentially, I could be wrong on this, but I think the whole thing of an endowment is you put in a certain amount of money. They never eat into that foundational money. It's all the returns on investment that you get. That's what's given out as scholarships every year. So that lives on forever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a great legacy. And I always say, rather than waiting until you pass away, why wouldn't you get the benefit of watching kids and meeting them and getting to do it in your lifetime?
Mm-hmm. Knowing that while you're here, you get to hear from these students whose lives have been changed as a result of your gift.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, again, it doesn't have to be a full ride scholarship, right? It could just be a book scholarship. Mm-hmm. I mean, those books are really expensive now.
Yeah.
You know, it can help them buy that laptop that they have to have a laptop to go to college now. Maybe it's that skateboard that they need to.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be a humongous thing.
You know what's interesting is ASU has their campaign 2020 going on, and they've raised a lot of money with this, but the average give is $92. Mm-hmm. And when you think about, oh my gosh, yes, the big endowments and, you know, some of the millions that come from some of these amazing philanthropists is great. 90%, I think it's 90% of it was $92 as an average give.
That's fascinating.
To get to $1.69 billion that they've raised so far.
Great statistics, and really speaks to what one individual can do. I mean, to Kathleen's point, just anything can help.
Yes.
And rallying around as an ASU family, as a Sundevil family, and getting involved. And I love, too, that you mentioned that you're an evangelist. I don't think that's ever a word that I thought of for you until today. Of course, that's who you are. And it makes sense. And what a neat connection to have Trish now as a partner here for the Sundevil 100.
My fellow evangelist.
I love it. What a great match. And we're so happy to have you be part of the Business Radio X family as well. So what a pleasure to get to know both of you today. Let's tell our listeners again one more time about the upcoming April event and who you'll be honoring. And then, again, where they can get more information about applying and becoming part of this fascinating group in the future.
So the luncheon will be on Monday, April 29th, and it's from 11 to 1. It'll be in the New Student Pavilion in one of the ballrooms there on Tempe's main campus. And the best way to register for it is to go onto the ASU website and then go into the Alumni Association portal, and then you'll be able to find Sundevil 100.
Fantastic. And you can find the information, all of the application and the whole process there as well.
Absolutely.
As information about, lunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Good. And then one more time for each of you, if you would please tell our listeners where we can find you, your business. So for the Duffy Group, it's...
Duffy Group's website is Duffy Group, DuffyGroup.com.
Awesome. And on social media, a couple different places. You personally are LinkedIn.
Yes. Yeah, we're LinkedIn. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We probably have Instagram. It's, you know, it's above my pay scale. I'm sorry.
Hey, but at least you got people out there doing it.
Exactly, exactly.
I love it. And Trish, Derma Health?
And Derma Health is DHIskin.com.
Great. And also on social media as well?
Also on, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Great. Thank you both so much for sharing your afternoon with us and giving us an opportunity to learn about Sun Devil 100 and the ASU Alumni Association. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.